This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Lori Taylor, founder and CEO of the Produce Moms. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Syngenta, a global leader in seeds and crop protection products. Learn how Syngenta is working alongside growers and farmers to make the best decisions for now and in the future of their farm at Syngenta-US.com. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Lori Taylor next. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Syngenta, a global leader in seeds and crop protection products. At Syngenta, we talk to U.S. farmers and growers every day to hear their concerns and help them meet their challenges. From research and development to create innovative products to digital solutions to reduce water use and create healthy soil, we work hand in hand with America's men and women who feed and power the world. Our highly skilled teams are at the forefront of connecting technology with the oldest profession to utilize mobile apps, aerial imagery, and other advances to enable farmers and growers to make smart application and buying decisions for their farms. When the American farmer has a successful crop, we all benefit. And Syngenta is proud to work alongside the grower and farmer to make the best decisions for now and the future of their farm. Learn more about Syngenta and our support of the U.S. farmer online at Syngenta-US.com. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. While working as a produce marketing professional, Lori Taylor recognized a need for reliable information on fruits and vegetables in the diet, as well as a difference in brands of produce. She founded the Produce Moms shortly after with a goal of providing an online, comprehensive destination to help moms and others improve their lives with better diets.
Today, we're one of the Internet's leading and most comprehensive destinations on all things fruits and vegetables. We have forged partnerships with over 100 different brands as well as grocery retailers in the 8 years that I've now owned this business. And it's just been an incredible resource to help educate folks on how to get more fruits and vegetables on every table. I wholeheartedly believe that fruits and vegetables are delicious, nutritious, convenient, and affordable. And each and every day, what we do at the Produce Moms helps use that education as a means to drive consumption of fresh produce and all forms of fruits and veggies.
On your website, you suggest that we are a community.
Yeah, so in 2015 when I bought this brand, it was The Produce Mom. That was very much how blogs emerged in that time of media. And it, you know, the blog was very synonymous with one individual or personality. And I realized as the blog grew, and now we've, you know, turned into a true brand, even with branded product at grocery retail. In 2017, I made the decision this is community centric, and the future of how we are going to get, you know, people inspired by a movement, everything was skewing towards community. 2017 was also when Mark Zuckerberg changed the mission of Facebook to being more community centric. So I thought, gosh, we really need to think about this, you know, and it was, I viewed this, the equivalency of the Produce Mom to me, Lori Taylor, as a huge threat to my business. So 2017 is when we made it that plural proper noun, the Produce Mom. And everything we've done since then has had that veil of community over whatever piece of content we're producing or creating. And, you know, so how do we do that? Well, we make sure that, you know, everyone has their own personal passions as it relates to food or their own personal culture and familiarity. We had to challenge ourselves at the Produce Moms, myself and my whole team. This is a big wide lens. America and the world, big, huge, diverse places. We got to make sure that if we want to create a space where moms can come, or anyone for that matter, can come and feel inspired and feel like they're part of something, we have to make sure that this is a very welcoming environment where it's very positive and uplifting. And we've done that in many ways. We've fostered our community by providing different types of media that folks can consume, whether it's the podcast or the traditional blog or subscribing to our email newsletter or tuning in when I'm on my syndicated cooking channel. Those are all Those are all examples of how we are building community and also helping people understand fruits and vegetables don't have to just be another commoditized product that we buy. There is brand to get passionate about and be particular with. And so that's how we've also built community among our business stakeholders, all of our brand partners and sponsors.
Food is much bigger in society. We have a food network. We have popular chefs. People are constantly looking for recipes. The baby boomer generation was one. Millennials are another. And now we're into the letter names of gens. So how is the consumer changing, and how are you meeting the needs and the wants of this generation today?
One of the big things, and it comes back to those founding beliefs of the Produce Moms, fruits and vegetables are delicious, nutritious, convenient, and affordable. So when we evaluate whether it's generations of folks that are following along, or if it's just demographics, affordability is huge right now. I mean, people are really, of all different walks of life and all ages, that is something that is really... it's been a catalyst for change within our content strategy. We're making sure that the new content we're producing is recipes that aren't going to break the bank. We're also being more cognizant to make sure that at least 10% of all of our new content is featuring recipes where 100% of the ingredients are reimbursable through SNAP, WIC, and other federal nutrition programs. So it is top of mind for us. Now, as it relates to connecting with the different, you know, generations, Gen Alpha comes to mind. We have a great example. So Gen Alpha are basically the kids of the older millennial mom. So it's households very much like mine. I've got a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old son. And so with Gen Alpha, especially Gen Alpha females, there is a absolute craze happening right now with skincare. And at the Produce Moms, we believe that fruits and vegetables have a place within every societal trend. And this skincare boom is no exception. So over the last year and a half, we've been investing in content that creates DIY skincare and beauty products using fruits and vegetables. It's also an opportunity for us to drive home ideation for folks like, hey, no one wants to throw away the fruits and vegetables they buy. But it does happen. It happens to all of us. You know, you overbuy or underconsume, and then you're left with products that's showing its age. So we're constantly trying to always keep things positive, never guilt anyone for something as commonplace as food waste, but present them with ideas on how they can mitigate that at the household level that are also on trend with pop culture, you know, what's happening in society, things like this Gen Alpha skincare craze. So it's been really fun. As some of our longest standing followers of the brand, most of, you know, the lion's share of our following is millennial age women are coming back to us saying, thank you. You know, I'm able to create this papaya skin oil as opposed to going to Ulta and dropping $80 on a vitamin C oil for my 11-year-old daughter, you know? So it's been a lot of fun to present fruits and vegetables in that manner as well.
So I'm a baby boomer, forgive me from this angle, and also tied to agriculture, so I have a slant as I ask the question. But there was my generation was involved in an agriculture that wanted to produce more and make sure there was a cheap food policy in the country. It seems the younger generations now are not as much concerned about the affordability as they are the way particular foods are grown. Do you find that as a concern among your followers?
You know, I can't say that we've had, I'm actually going to say as someone who, you know, last month alone, our website had over 100,000 visitors. So like we've got a pretty large audience, you know, for a super niche topic. And I am actually getting less inquiry on our contact form and through our social media inboxes or comments as it relates to things like biotechnology in food or organic versus conventionally grown. Of course, as a certified B corporation, all things related to environmental stewardship are top of mind for us at the Produce Moms, but not really even, I think that there's a misunderstanding, frankly, on, you know, we're hearing about regenerative agriculture, but like, I don't think consumers know what it is. So we're taking steps at the Produce Moms to try to drive that in. But until we see that as being a qualifier for market access at grocery retail, we're not going to step aside from our foundational values and the way that we're promoting fruits and vegetables. Because what we don't want to do is ever discourage someone or disparage a style of farming, because that could just create a sense of guilt as it relates to consuming fruits and vegetables. And we never want to do that or contribute to that. That's another reason we don't cover the Dirty Dozen list. I made that decision several years ago, when I was just doing some research on, like, gosh, I would say over half of these headlines about this Dirty Dozen and Claim 15 list come from trade media. Like, why is the agriculture industry giving that nonsense another headline? And so we prepared a statement at the Produce Moms if we were asked. Like, we knew how we were going to answer it, and we do that every year. But you know what? I haven't had to use that statement in about 4 years because no one cares. Like, you know, well, I can't say no one. Like, but the majority of folks that are following along with us, what they care about is getting more fruits and vegetables on every table. They're not concerned with saying, and I'd like to think that part of that is because of the educational steps we've taken to make people understand and have complete confidence in their choices that any fruit or vegetable that you are serving to you or your family is an excellent choice.
Lori, how are you supported financially, and do your supporters influence your bias?
Of course, we all have to have funding, right? So about 90% of our revenue comes from our brand partnerships. And any content that we create on behalf of our brand sponsors is obviously disclosed. Everything's within FTC guidelines and whatnot. As it relates to a bias, we cover more of our brand partners than we do their competitors, but we have absolutely no bias as it relates to promoting all the different fruits and vegetables. Right now, our content split is there's actually more unsponsored content being published at theproducemoms.com than there is sponsored content. So we are certainly not just a sponsor mouthpiece 100% of the time, not even close to that. But as it relates to brand partners, you know, we work with Nature Right Farms, for instance. They are a huge player in blueberries and strawberries and whatnot. So chances are we're going to be talking, if we're talking about a brand of a strawberry, that'll be mentioned, call out, or that we have gentle brand placement of packaging within recipes that we publish, et cetera. But does that mean we're not talking about other commodities that strawberries compete with for market share or market basket spend? Absolutely not. Like, we are committed to all fruits and vegetables, apples to zucchini, and that's how we've been able to establish a level of trust. Now, with that same vein, though, I do want to point out the fact that I believe in brand. I think brand is what, you know, that's what moves the souls of us as consumers. And so if you think about other consumer products, whether it's within the food space or otherwise, people have a favorite brand of everything. One of my favorite ways to open up my public speaking engagements is to ask people what their favorite brand of shoe is. And I mean, I am not kidding you. You could probably go around an assembly 3 times and everyone would be able to name not just one favorite brand of shoes, but all 3 of their top 3 brands. And then you say, okay, what's your favorite brand of fruit or vegetables? Or what's your favorite brand? Like, if you want to get really specific, say, what's your favorite brand of apples? People sometimes are more often likely to say things like AirPods than they are to say something like Sugar Bee. That to me, and that was something that I learned when I was working at the sales desk, and I had produce managers saying things to me like, I want Honeydew, but I really only want it if it's King of the West brand. And so I was able to learn that these brands and these varieties and these growing regions, they all matter, but there is a gap to the household. And we want to tighten up that gap. We want to bridge that gap, because in helping people understand that there are brands that are committed to, you know, supreme flavor, and most of that occurs at the, you know, with the seed level, proprietary seeds or unique varieties or hybrids, et cetera. And we're able to use our platform to explain all those things to people. So I don't shy away from the fact that we talk about brand. Rather, I actually celebrate it, and I think it's a critical importance. And I think that it is, if we want to engage consumers of all ages and all demographics, The way that we're going to do that, the way that we're really going to inspire people to eat more fruits and vegetables, is by helping people understand what the most flavorful fruits and vegetables that are out there are. Because that's what it really all comes down to when it comes to food. Like, does it taste good? If so, I'm in. And if not, I might try it once, but I'm certainly not giving it a repeat sale. You know, so it's really important that we educate all consumers on brands within the whole grocery store, not just the produce department.
Well, the Department of Agriculture and certainly the Dietary Guidelines Committee, whether you're talking about a pyramid or a plate or the other, obviously they have made recommendations for the U.S. populace. Where does that end and Produce Moms begin?
Yeah, so we're not trying to misrepresent who we are. You know, we are a group of moms. The Produce Moms is really focused on the household level. And to be honest with you, when I started this in 2012, I thought in my own personal life and in the peers that were encouraging me to come forward with a blog, the dialogue and commentary that was dominating the news space or consumer media space was people with initials after their name, you know, medical professionals and other research analysts, et cetera. And people were like, I just want my kids to eat broccoli and not cookies every single day. You know, like that's what it's really just that simple. And so we are not trying to pretend like we are a voice of authority as it relates to nutrition. So what we do for folks that have nutrition inquiry for us, of course we have the nutritional capabilities within our recipe plugin on our website that can create that nutrition panel for folks who need to monitor that closely as they evaluate our recipes. We also direct folks to trusted websites such as the USDA to learn more about these guidelines. We've also implemented a guest authorship strategy to bring in people who are food scientists, dietitians, doctors, et cetera. But I think one of our secrets to success at the Produce Moms is the keep it real tone and mentality that we have as it relates to fruits and vegetables. We just want people to get more fruits and vegetables on the table, more fruits and veggies more often. That's really all it comes down to. Of course, our goal is that USDA recommendation of a half plate. But if you have a child who is adverse to all fruits and veggies and you get them eating baby carrots, like that is a win and we're going to celebrate it even if it's only one baby carrot a day. You know, we can build on that. And so that, I think that positivity and that keep it real tone has been a key to our success and our ability to attract more folks to our website and to all that we have to offer at the Produce Mom.
A new farm bill at some point will come to bear in the Congress, and nutrition is a big part of that. So whether it's the SNAP program or the Women, Infants, and Children's program, how does the Produce Moms play into here, and is there a plea to Washington for these groups of people who need help?
Yeah, my big plea and the big thing that we rally around at the Produce Moms as it relates to Farm Bill is always the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program, FFVP. We want children to be exposed to that fresh fruit and vegetable snack within the school setting. It's great. It's a proven model. We want every school that is interested in that to have access to it. I've done a lot of grassroots work both here. I was a former board member of Indianapolis Public Schools. I live in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I've supported obviously a lot of my colleagues in the produce industry and at the International Fresh Produce Association as it relates to supporting FFVP, the protection and the expansion of that program. So that is truly every time Farm Bill comes up for the last several, Farm Bills, that's been my big passion point. But in addition to that, right now it's really important that we get adequate funding for WIC. We cannot have people in a time where the need for WIC is rising. You know, the cost of food, the cost of living, everything in an inflationary economy, like we have more people who are qualifying and need that service, WIC. And so we must adequately fund WIC. Recently, we were able, for certain beneficiaries of WIC, we were able to triple the fruit and vegetable benefit within WIC. That's been so well received. There's been incredible response to that. And if you look at it from a wider lens, as it relates to, you know, the general taxpayer and constituent, regardless of whether or not they are participatory in nutrition programs, the one thing that the general population agrees on is that federal nutrition programs should absolutely be funding fruits and vegetables as a priority, especially as it relates to, you know, we would never want fruits and vegetables to be cut out of programming to make room for, you know, other highly processed forms of food. We don't want to see that happen. We want to maintain the staples that fruits and vegetables have always. And right now in the United States, half of all babies that are born are eligible for WIC. So there is a tremendous demand. We must, as we look at upcoming legislation in D.C., we must make sure that WIC is fully funded because we have to keep that program going. It's just critically important. And, of course, FFVP, that is where my heart is at as it relates to all things Farm Bill policy.
So with regard to guests here on the program, it wasn't long ago that we had representatives from the National Potato Council, and they were concerned about suggested guidelines and the consumption of potatoes. Are the produce moms concerned about potatoes and ready to take, are the produce moms ready to take some vegetables off the table?
Oh, never. Absolutely not. Potatoes, first of all, that's America's favorite vegetable. If you look at consumer purchasing behavior, potatoes lead in the vegetable category, and they have for many, many years. We are super proud to promote potatoes to the point where we actually have, the produce moms has a branded Idaho potato on shelf now at over half of America's Walmart. It's the Produce Mom's Easy Baker Potato. It's grown by Wada Farms and packed by Wada Farms. We're really proud of that. We're thankful for the support of Walmart and keeping that on shelf and expanding that footprint. We're now at over half of America's Walmarts. We are huge fans of potatoes. We see them as a super complete food, to be honest with you, as it relates to the produce department. There is such a unique nutritional benefit to potatoes, very complete from the potassium and everything that potatoes have to offer folks, low glycemic food. It's a great food for anyone who needs to, you know, any performance athlete. I've got a son who's a varsity basketball player. Potatoes are a great food for him to quote unquote carb load with. 5 of our top 10 blogs at theproducemoms.com right now are potato centric recipes. So no, there's no lack of demand or lack of interest from the produce mom's point of view as it relates to potatoes. It's quite the opposite.
Lori, one of the last topics that I would bring for you, I don't think we'd have a problem finding studies that would suggest that better nutrition leads to better health, which is certainly a boon for your mission. But how do you respond to the food as medicine concept that eating a better diet might reduce healthcare costs?
We have open arms to that. We are big advocates for that movement. Last year, I attended the Food as Medicine Summit as a delegate, and I actually hosted an entire mini-series on the Produce Moms podcast focused on food as medicine, bringing in a lot of the public and private sector stakeholders, movers and shakers, and thought leaders in this space. So we're definitely advocates for the food as medicine concept and movement. Probably the biggest point of success that we're seeing is things like produce prescriptions. I think there's a lot of talk out there about what's this going to look like especially in the sphere of grocery retail. It's a complicated scenario because grocery retailers, I think that all of them have food as medicine initiatives and task force, et cetera. I actually served as part of the Kroger task force on food as medicine. At the end of the day, pharmaceuticals and traditional medicines, big business for most of America's grocery retailers. So we have to make sure that as our industry brings this forward, that it's not positioned as food versus medicine. You know, this is something where food can work in harmony with traditional medicine and everyone wins, but gosh, the big winners in this movement are fruits and vegetables in the produce department overall.
Well, Lori Taylor, we salute your mission of bringing better nutrition and better health to the nation. And certainly your spirit as an entrepreneur to operate a business that benefits people, but also satisfies a hunger in your heart to help the lives of other people. Thank you for being on this edition of Open Mic. Lori, it is Open Mic, and today you have the last word.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, my last word is, as the produce moms, I have to say, you know, we believe in the power of moms, and our industry data is clear. Moms are making the majority of the household decisions in terms of what foods are served and purchased at the household level. So I always like when I have the opportunity to remind folks that, hey, it's time for us as an agriculture industry to get more women at the table, empower moms. I remember the days when I had to, my former employer, things, I wasn't set up for success with the HR policies that were in place when I became pregnant. You know, things like needing to step away from my cubicle to pump or take my son to a doctor's appointment, or because daycare wasn't open in time for the early morning procurement meeting. You know, those accommodations, I think our industry is getting a lot better, but I definitely just want to encourage everyone who's listening today. It's really important that we get women and moms a seat at the table as it relates to all things food, beverage, agriculture, grocery, retail policy, because we are such a huge stakeholder in the success of our industry.
Our thanks to Lori Taylor, founder and CEO of the Produce Moms, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Syngenta, a global leader in seeds and crop protection products. Syngenta is working alongside growers and farmers to make the best decisions for now and the future of their farm. Learn more at syngenta-us.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Daly.